Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 91 for the week of December 14th, 2020. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts that you can use in your own presentations. Okay, last week we covered a lot of ground because we were really compressing 2 weeks into one podcast. This week won't be so challenging as we are in that week of the month where we really don't get very much data. So rather than try to pad it out, we'll just get right to it and maybe get you out a little early. Before we dig into the usual weekly and monthly data, let's talk about the third quarter for trucking. A few weeks ago, we discussed not seasonally adjusted data for trucking and for parcel and local delivery for the third quarter. That allowed us to look at year-over-year comparisons, but the lack of seasonal adjustments made it difficult to interpret the changes relative to the second quarter of this year. Now that we have seasonally adjusted data, we have more detailed information that allows us to look at that, and also we have more detailed information regarding segments of the trucking industry. The Census Bureau reported seasonally adjusted third quarter revenues for various service industries, including truck transportation or for hire trucking last week. Trucking revenues were down 6.9% year over year, but they were up 16.7% from Q2. Revenues for general freight trucking were up 11.8% quarter over quarter, and specialized freight trucking revenues were up 15.8%. We have frequently discussed the disconnect between the booming consumer economy and the sluggish industrial economy coming out of the contraction related to the pandemic. However, in the Census Bureau data, the Q3 recovery quarter over quarter was stronger for specialized freight, as I just mentioned, than it was for general freight. So what gives? Well, there's two things that help explain this. First, specialized trucking suffered a significantly bigger hit during Q2. General freight revenues were down 16.2% quarter over quarter, while specialized freight revenues were down 20.7%. What that means, of course, is that it was a bit easier for specialized freight to have a bigger recovery. Second, the Census Bureau's definition of general freight and its definition of specialized freight are really not quite how we think of the industry. The biggest point there is that the Census Bureau's definition of specialized freight includes refrigerated, which likely strengthened the sector's revenue performance compared to what it would have been if we just thought of specialized as in terms of things like flatbed tank and those types of specialized hauling. One final footnote on trucking revenues before we talk about parcel and local delivery. I believe that fuel surcharges would be part of the Census Bureau's calculation. If so, that could have contributed to the Q3 figure being down from the same quarter last year because diesel prices were sharply lower this year than they were at the same time last year. However, because diesel prices were very stable during the second and third quarters of this year, they would not have significantly affected the comparison of Q3 versus Q2 of this year. Okay, so not surprisingly, parcel and local delivery, or what the government formally calls couriers and messengers, has continued to grow. The gain in Q3 relative to Q2 was only 4%, but that is largely because Q2 was so strong, given all the online buying and deliveries dramatically outpacing in-store purchases. Year over year, local delivery was up nearly 15%. The more than $29 billion booked in the third quarter is the largest quarterly figure ever recorded, and it is exceeded by 4%, the gain over Q2, which had been the largest one ever. Okay, let's look at the spot market for truck freight. After a volatile couple of weeks due to the Thanksgiving holiday, spot load postings in the truckstop.com system decreased 4.4% during the week ended December 11th, which was week 49. Higher flatbed loadings week over week partially offset double-digit declines in dry van and refrigerated. Thanksgiving shift from year to year on the calendar continues to distort the year-over-year comparisons a bit. Week 48 of this year saw the big bounce from the short holiday week, but in 2019, that bounce occurred in week 49, which is, of course, the week we're comparing. The result of that was the weakest comparison for load volume in 18 weeks, except for Thanksgiving week. Even so, total volume of loads was nearly 63% higher in week 49 this year than it was in the same week last year. And it was more than double the five-year average. The comparison is stronger with the five-year average because Thanksgiving fell during the same week as this year in most of the years in the past 5 years. Truck postings were down 0.5%. It was a decline, but not one as sharp as the decline in loads. So the market demand index, which of course is the ratio of load postings to truck postings in the systems, eased slightly. I mentioned that dry van and refrigerated had double-digit declines. In fact, they both fell almost exactly by the same degree, about 13% week over week. In the case of dry van, that was a decrease from record volume that was posted in week 48. Refrigerated, though, is much lower than it had been before Thanksgiving, and it did not even quite match week 49 last year, although I already explained why we are still seeing year-over-year distortions. In fact, it's notable that the last time that refrigerated was below 2019 levels for the same week was during the week that included the July 4th federal holiday. And that, like Thanksgiving, can affect different weeks in different years. The week's star was flatbed, which saw volume rise more than 6% on the near doubling of volume the week before, which of course was the week after Thanksgiving. Flatbed volume was the strongest of 2020, which is also to say that it was the strongest since late 2018. Mm-hmm. The trajectory of flatbed relative to the van markets is a new one, but it's not tremendously surprising. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you have the holiday rush beginning to play itself out for the van markets, even though we still have quite a bit of strength as a base due to the ongoing disruption in freight markets and the very lean retail environment that is pushing for replenishment. But with flatbed, we have, of course, had a pretty solid environment due mostly to residential construction. But the other key drivers, principally manufacturing and energy, had been lagging. However, more recently, we've seen manufacturing production begin to pick up steam, and we might even be seeing some life in energy, which is just kind of hard to get your head around, given that it was just a few months ago that we actually had a negative price for petroleum. Let's wrap up by mentioning spot rates. The broker posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, fell about 4 cents. The biggest drop was in refrigerated, which saw rates fall by 22 cents, or almost 22 cents. That's the biggest decline since April. Now, that may be a one-time adjustment, or it's possible, I suppose, that we could be seeing the beginning of a normalization. We'll just have to watch that closely. Okay, let's talk about petroleum and fuel. I mentioned a moment ago that the energy markets were showing some life. We continue to see crude prices drift higher. The last few days have seen prices for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude close above $46 a barrel, and in fact, knocking on the door of $47. Crude is now recovered to about where it was at the beginning of the pandemic in the United States, although the global pandemic had already shaved about $15 a barrel off the price from where it was at the beginning of the year. Meanwhile, diesel prices posted their sixth weekly increase, adding 18.7 cents to the price of diesel over that period. The latest increase was 3.3 cents for a national average of $2.559 a gallon for the week ended December 14th. As we have discussed, one of the issues appears to be tighter inventories in ultra-low sulfur distillate, which forms the base of diesel fuel. Those inventories have started to build back, but they are well below where they were in September. Now, to be sure, where they were in September was actually quite high. So you could make the case that the prices we are starting to see in diesel are actually more in line with where they should be in a normal market than the sub $2.50 diesel that we have seen all summer and fall. That's not necessarily something you want to hear, but I feel that's probably the case. Okay, let's wrap up our discussion of the weekly data with a look at the unemployment situation. Despite soaring COVID-19 infections, we had not been seeing any significant deterioration in the slow but steady improvement in the unemployment situation. However, the latest data might be a sign that that's changing, but we certainly can't jump to conclusions based on just 1 week. Initial claims for unemployment benefits in regular state programs rose by 137,000 seasonally adjusted to 853,000 during the week ended December 5th. 137,000 more claims than in the prior week might not sound extraordinary given the just huge numbers that we've been seeing in unemployment this year. However, it is the largest weekly increase in initial claims since March, when claims soared by more than 6.5 million over a two-week period. Since March, we've seen initial claims rise by more than 100,000 in a single week only a couple of times, and the most recent was in mid-August. Meanwhile, continued claims in regular state programs rose by 230,000, seasonally adjusted, to nearly 5.8 million during the week ended November 28th. That data, of course, lags by a week. Continued claims had not risen week over week since late August. On a not seasonally adjusted basis, continued claims were up by more than 533,000 for the largest increase since the week ended July 4. Although regular continued claims had fallen steadily since peaking at nearly 23 million in early May, continued claims have held mostly flat since late August in federally funded programs that fund benefits for non-payroll workers and also for those regular beneficiaries who have exhausted eligibility. In the latest week for which data is available, which is the week ended November 21st, continued claims fell by about 340,000 to nearly 13.1 million. As we've discussed multiple times, the two federal programs are set to expire by the end of December unless extended by Congress. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen this week. My money is on, at minimum, a short-term extension, perhaps 1 to 3 months, as I think it would be quite awkward for Congress to adjourn for the holidays while allowing millions of people to lose all of their financial support from Washington. I guess we will address in our podcast next week what ends up happening. Okay, as I said earlier, we didn't get much economic data this week. The one topic left to discuss is the Producer Price Index, which is the Bureau of Labor Statistics survey that tracks pricing from the perspective of the seller. We track data both for trucking services and for cost of heavy equipment. The latter, however, doesn't really change much, and we don't usually have much to say about it. However, if you're curious, you will find graphs on the producer price indexes for heavy trucks and for trailers in the presentation deck that accompanies this podcast. The data on trucking services, however, is quite interesting. The producer price index for truckload primary services in long-distance general freight rose 4% month over month, and that's the largest monthly gain on record. The largest increase previously was 2.4% in August of 1995. However, we can't take that 4% increase to the bank. BLS tends to make significant revisions in its PPI data in subsequent releases. And a very good example of that is the initial truckload PPI for July, which showed a 4.8% surge. And that July increase has since been reduced to 1.8%, which is obviously a substantial difference. Even so, that July increase of 1.8% is the fifth largest increase on record. The comparisons year over year and to the pre-pandemic levels are pretty strong. The truckload PPI is up 3.8% year over year and 4.9% compared to February. The producer price index for LTL, however, was not strong. It fell 1% both month over month and year over year in November. And compared to February, the LTL producer price index is down 1.9%. One note here, for trucking services, the PPI tends to track roughly with changes in contract rates, but there are external factors that can matter, and one of them is fuel surcharges. Now, as we discussed, diesel prices have risen fairly sharply in November. However, those prices really didn't start rising until the second half of the month, and the way the survey works, it's not likely that the November increase reflects really much of any increase in the price of diesel. However, as we look ahead to December and other months, if diesel prices continue rising, then it may be less significant, certainly early on, as those prices tend to reflect a varied base. So the point being that, December, if we continue to see diesel prices rising in December, then interpreting the December PPI for truckload compared to November might be a bit difficult. But, once we rise to a new base, it'll be easier to look at those comparisons. Okay, well, that's a fun little methodological discussion there, right? Okay, so that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Trucking revenues jumped nearly 17% in Q3. Parcel and local delivery revenues rose 4% to their highest level ever in Q3. Spot volume fell post-holiday Thanksgiving fell following the post-Thanksgiving rebound, but flatbed was stronger. Diesel and crude prices are still rising. New unemployment claims rose by the most since March. Continued claims for unemployment rose for the first time since August. Federal continued claims eased but remain above 13 million. The truckload producer price index posted its largest monthly gain ever with a 4% increase. And the LTL producer price index was down 1% in November. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 91 for the week of December 14th, 2020. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.